Tammy, you took a survey of principals and teachers to see which of these programs will have the largest effect, and you found out that 45% consider it the Common Core Learning Standards. What are those Common Core Standards?
Well, first of all, our survey was of school board members.
That's right.
Yes. And we were pretty excited about this. You know, for the first time in a long time, our back-to-school list is pretty clear-cut. There are three new initiatives that are coming online. One is the Common Core Standard, which is a new way of teaching and learning. The second is the annual professional performance review, a new way of evaluating teachers and principals. And the third is the Dignity for All Schools Act, which is intended to protect students from harassment and discrimination and to have a safer school environment free from bullying. So these three things are right in our wheelhouse as school board members. We want to have the best quality program. We want to have the highest quality teachers. We want to have a safe school environment. And so we saw these as good things. We appreciate this. And we polled our people on this and said, what do you think? And they said, well, of those three, we think the Common Core will probably have the greatest significant positive impact on public education. The teacher and principal evaluation would come up second as having the positive impact. And the DASA, which is the Dignity for All Students Act, would be third. Their proviso, their caveat was, we love these programs, this is change, this is progress, this is good for kids, but we don't know how we're going to pay for this because all three of these programs are underfunded by the state.
And these programs are also part of the new tax limit, the tax cap. How is that going to affect these programs?
Well, it's going to affect them because each one of these carries some significant cost implications, and we are limited as to what we can raise locally because of the tax cap. We're limited as to what we're going to get in state aid because of a new indexed cap on state aid. And the federal money, the Race to the Top money and the stimulus money has all been pretty much come forward to a great extent. It's not going to be coming forward in any big way anytime soon. So we're limited as to what revenue sources we've got, and we have these relatively significant cost implications.
Only 14% think the Dignity for All Students Act will have the effect. That's the anti-bullying measure. Is the message here that, you know, we can't solve this problem alone? It's also up to the parents and what happens at home and what happens out of school.
I think that's part of it. I'm going to guess that because this is relatively new and is not well understood, that it, among the other things, the Common Core and the APPR, the Annual Professional Performance Review, have gotten so much attention, so much training. They've been a part of negotiations and such. They've been really on the table of school boards for a long time. This Dignity for All Students Act came forward a little later at a little less profile, so I'm going to guess that people aren't quite as familiar with it. What it basically says is there's some new protected classes of students and staff who are not going to be subject to harassment and discrimination, or there will be consequences. Those protected classes include things like ethnicity, weight, the religion you practice, not necessarily what your religion is, but what you practice, your sexual orientation, or how you identify yourself, what gender and expression you use to identify yourself sexually. Those are things that are now protected classes, and we as boards of education have to build those protections into a code of conduct. We have to train staff and faculty regarding how to deal with those protected classes. We have to have a coordinator in every school to make sure that this is enforced. We have to provide instruction to students about awareness of Dignity for All Students. And if there are incidents of harassment or discrimination, they have to be reported to the state. And that's just year number one. Year number two is when we address cyberbullying and all that is around the social media aspect of this.
The teacher evaluation requires the districts and the teacher bargaining units to come to agreements on these evaluation systems and then present it to the state for approval. How are those negotiations going? Are many of those negotiations at agreement yet, or is there still a ways to go?
There's still a ways to go. Last count I got from the State Education Department is up to about 300 school districts have submitted their negotiated agreements for the teacher and principal evaluations to the state for approval. About 50 of them have been approved. But the good thing that the state's doing is they've identified what they're calling models, and they're posting all of the agreements and these models online. And our hope is that if the state is saying, we like this stuff, and this is what we would encourage you guys to agree to, that will help expedite some of the negotiations that have yet to be concluded. But we also are learning that in these negotiations, it isn't just about the teacher and principal evaluations. What will happen is the labor and management come to an agreement on the teacher and principal evaluation language, but the union, which has to, by law, sign off on this agreement before it can be approved by SED, at least theoretically, they're then saying, wait a minute, before we put our name on that, let's talk about some of these other things that have to do with salaries and benefits, and we would like to some additional increases there. And that's kind of stalled some things and made for a little bit of a rough sledding for us right now.
But there is the 4% loss of state aid hanging over all of these negotiations. How much pressure is that putting on these talks?
It's huge. You're forcing us to do these things that we, again, I want to make sure that you understand, these education reforms are a good thing, but it is causing us to say we've got to cut something in order to make the Common Core, the APPR, DASA work. And so what we're having to do is we're saying, well, you know, if we're going to have to come up with additional funds for that, we're going to have to cut some teaching positions, some non-teaching positions. We're probably going to have to increase class sizes. We're going to have to reduce electives. And we've got a long list of what people are doing. I will say that the unions have been negotiating some concessions, and that's been well received, and we appreciate that. And those districts in city and rural parts of the state, they're the ones that are really suffering the most. They're having a very difficult time getting this together.
Tim Creamer, Executive Director of the New York State School Boards Association, thanks for joining us today on Midday Magazine.
My pleasure, Brian. Thank you.